And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Sound music. We back. We in this. I've got energy. And if you know anything about this new Music Friday, you fucking know why. All right, I'm jacked up. I've been doing coke all morning.
Wow.
Been doing coke and listening to your Bon Iver.
What a combo.
Get out of here. Shut up, Brando, you stupid idiot. I'm just kidding. We love each other here. I'm a little hot right now.
Yeah.
Brando, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just living. I know Ryan hates this, so I'm going to say it. I'm living the dream today.
That's right. When you're over 30, there's nothing wrong with like saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like
I love it.
Lately, my new thing is when people ask me like at work, they're like, hey, how's it going? And it's on a Friday. I say, well, it's Friday.
I love like I would love to see Ryan's face when someone tries to come up to him and talk to him that way at work, because you know he's just going, you people are all the same. In his little polo that I'm sure he wears.
Right. I feel like I want to make a joke right now, but I shouldn't because it's extremely inappropriate. But
do it.
I'll tell it to you off air. It would most not offend people in the way where Jay might be racist. Not at all. It has nothing to do. It's more about white people than anything. But just to keep from offending people.
Jay, do you wear polos?
I won't. No, never.
Never.
Never. Never. Actually, that's I will right. say this. When I was in O Jerusalem, I played Cosmic Invasion with Imarosa and Big Rig. I played it with a polo. And it was from American Eagle. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could have been in, what's that? August Burns Red.
100%. Yeah. Just some guys. They just got off work and now they're going to play metal music.
Yeah. Polos are something that I just don't get yet. I guess I'm just not old enough yet to get them.
Right.
Soon maybe, you know, I've got two kids, so polos and New Balances are on their way. I just don't know when.
So hashtag fashion talk real quick. Polos just aren't in right now. Like they were definitely in, you know, between 2002 to like 2008 maybe, but now nah.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I was just thinking about Ryan wearing a polo at work, and I'm positive Ryan Snelling owns polos.
Right.
But so if you listen to Weekly this past week, you'll know that Ryan issued an apology, Jay. And he issued an apology for he fat shamed me on Weekly. And if you listen to the music last week, you know that I asked people to shame Ryan Snelling. And I only got one person. God bless you, Tim Heller. But no, I still don't know if Ryan thought I was serious and like offended. I thought it was hilarious. So, I mean, don't keep fat shaming me. It will lead to a complex, but hilarious.
Yeah, I sat there emotionless throughout that entire thing. I do like perpetuating the idea that there is some sort of feud going on between you two. But that's not the case. Y'all like each other for the most part.
Now I did text Ryan. If you listen to the Patreon, I won't spoil it here, but if you listen to the Patreon, Ryan dropped a bomb of some news, so I texted him about it, and his response...
I think it's pretty much out there. I mean, he's posting it, like, everywhere now.
So his response to me was, honestly, I'm just kind of sick of talking about it now. I'm over talking about it like this. And I was like, dude, I'm just trying to, like, bust your chops here. I think it's interesting. I can't wait to get all the texts from Ryan during this journey. And, yeah, hope it goes well. But we're not here to talk about that, Jay, right?
Classic to be the one that's like, I need help. I need opinions. I need advice. Oh, I can't wait to tell everybody about this thing. You know what? I'm all good. Why don't you blow me, Brando? That's pretty much what he told you. All right. Am I perpetuating the feud? 100%. I'm throwing fuel on the fire.
Yeah, Ryan is one that wants a bunch of opinions, but then when you ask him about it, he tries to immediately act like, I'm just so over this. So many people have been reaching out. Yeah.
I get it. I love informing people about vaping, but I would rather chop my nipples off than actually have to talk to you about it. Except for you, Brando. I don't mind talking to you.
Good.
About it. Listen, it's New Music Friday. Happy New Music Friday.
Woo!
I love every single one of you. This is a day to be celebrated and rejoiced about, I guess. We'll dive into that later on in the show, in the albums section of the show. We'll talk about why that is. But first, before we do anything, we're going to talk about the singles this week. We're going to go through our picks, a big listen, a fresh, all that stupid stuff that we do. We're going to do all of that. But before we do, I want to let you guys know that we had a special episode, a bonus episode of Sight and Sound Music this week, where I got to sit down and talk and do an interview with Jamie, the lead vocalist of the band Maggie Cassidy. Their new single, Runaway, dropped today. It is on our Singles of the Week playlist. Of course, we debuted the song on that episode. You might have heard it. If you listen to the playlist, you will have probably heard it. It was the first track on there. But we are going to play the song here for you on Sight and Sound Music so you guys can check it out. So let's take a quick break, listen to the song, and then we will come back and we will listen to Brando talk about the song. You ready to listen to it?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll be right back.
The lighting dips, the blinds, they click, the unmoving world of affection where we reside. As the real one dies, why do we wait for every moment in this life? So run away. A millionaire.
in this Maggie Cassidy Runaway. That was their brand new single. Again, if you're interested, and I would highly recommend you do so, please go and check out the interview that I did with Jamie, the lead singer of that band. I've given my thoughts on the song. I even put out like a single reaction review video on the YouTube channel. Make sure to check that out as well. What I really want to know is, Brando, what did you think of this Maggie Cassidy song?
You know what? These guys are just really, really good songwriters. I thought this was really well done. I did think the vocal mix was a little muddy at times, but these guys just know how to write hooks. Okay, Jamie, can't understand a lot of what you say on the podcast, but I think
I can't understand what these foreigners are saying.
Yeah, speak English. They do. But that the chorus feels kind of like a starting line chorus to me, which is one of my favorite pop punk bands of all time. There are two of them. Two of pop punk bands are worth listening to. Every other pop punk band is not. I thought this was really cool. The bridge was really well done, I thought. Kind of remind me of, we talked a little bit about this off air, but Amber Lynn. Nothing crazy in terms of arrangement and nothing super like new, but it was just such a bop, such a great song. Well done, my friends across the ocean. Now, if they would just return my emails in an orderly fashion, we could have had an interview with me and their guitar player. But somebody doesn't know how to answer an email.
How dare you? I'll get on them for that. I said this in my track reaction review. The craziest thing to me about this song is it's less than 3 minutes long, but man, do they pack so much energy into the song. And sometimes that's all you need. It's hard to make a song that succinct and brief and make it feel like it's long lasting, but I think it makes you want to come back for more. And I think it makes it incredibly digestible as well.
Yeah. I think all the parts were really trimmed of fat so that they could add a bunch of different parts. I thought it was just really, really well put together, especially for a band that doesn't have a ton of, you know, stuff out. I thought this is they're doing great at making sure the song is right before they release it. So well done, gents.
Absolutely. Well, guys, that's it for the show. No, I'm just kidding. I hate it when people do that. It's not even a good joke. Let's dive into the rest of these singles. Our big listen. And boy, is it a big listen. I mean, it's a really big listen.
Yeah.
This Tool song, Fear Inoculum, of course, it's called that. Because
stop.
Tool is... Listen.
Oh.
Tool on both hands, they don't take themselves. Let me take that back. Maynard James Keenan doesn't take Tool that serious, but the rest of them take Tool so serious. My God, the song was 10 minutes long. Brando, I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to throw this to you first, and then I'm going to run away like I just tossed you a grenade. What did you think of this 10-minute Tool epic? Their first song in like a really long time, Fear Inoculum.
The name. I'm so glad that you pointed that out. It is such a Tool name. Fear Inoculum. Bro, none of your fans know what that word means. They're not going to go look it up.
Did you make it up?
Yeah. I said, it sounds like Tool. Poetry vocal stacks. Tool is a band who, you know, I started playing music. I was a bass player first. And Tool was always a cool band because their bass player didn't just play whatever the guitars played, but lower. They actually, you know, I think the guy's name, well, now I can't remember it. But they have a really good bass player. And he is known for coming up with parts. You know, Adam kind of does a droney thing with the guitars. And their bass player always comes up with these really cool kind of parts, and there's tons of effects on his bass, usually some distortion, usually some kind of delay or a, you know, some kind of phaser or something. But, and then they always add those like extra percussion bits, like the jungle drums is what I call them. And, you know, Tool has like one emotion and it's like brooding.
Witchy.
So a lot of their song, yeah, very witchy. Yeah, I thought it just kind of sounded like Tool. It had a bunch of syncopation with the drums. It had, you know, guitars doing these like swells. It starts with like these cellos doing this echo part, and then it slowly transitions into, you know, their guitar swells doing it. And then, of course, you know, the bass player just starts doing those little like bank, bank, bump, bump, bump. You know, it's just very, it just sounds a lot like Tool. The thing I did think stood out in this song was the vocals. You know, the vocals in this song, you know, a lot of Maynard's melodies can be kind of similar, to where he's just like, please, you know, but in this one, he actually started up really high in his register, but really soft. He did some cool things, but again, it just, it sounds like Tool. And I loved what you said on Weekly, that you kind of related them to Pink Floyd, which is 100% correct.
Right.
And then you said,
I feel like some people like gagged when I said that. But
yeah, they're dumb.
Get out of here.
Yeah, if you gagged at that, you're dumb. Pink Floyd is fine, and this band is fine. They do that thing where, like, they'll hit a drum for 10 minutes.
Yeah. let's just cut that out, all right? Like, we don't, we know you're there. Like, we don't, not everyone needs a solo.
And it's like, I wonder what the producer thinks when the drummer's like, okay, now for 5 minutes, we're going to, this guy's going to scrape this rusty, this rusty chain on the ground. You're going to record that. And then, like, maybe 4 or 5 times, I'm just going to hit this drum. And it's really artistic, and this is why. And the producer's like, okay, just cash those checks. Yeah, I, you know, Tool has never been a band that's really done anything for me. I think they're great. I think Danny Carey is a fantastic drummer. You know, they're all good at what they do. They're all really weird, and they want to be weird. I think they're smart, but I, at the end of the day, like, it's just going to be for you or not. It's fine. I will definitely, I wouldn't turn it off if like a friend put it on in my car. I would just listen to a few songs and then, you know, put on Carly Rae Jepsen. But yeah, I thought this song was whatever. It's way too long. It is way too long. And they can just, you know, don't bore us, get to the chorus. That's what I thought. Jay, what'd you think?
This song is incredibly self-indulgent because, like, listen, in terms of how long it is, I don't have a problem with songs that are really, really long. Like, I love a lot of Def Heaven songs. I mean, there's some Metallica songs out there that are super long that I enjoy quite a bit. But there are times when it works because there's a really well-written song that makes sense for that to be the case. But then there's some songs where it's just like so much of this is obviously not needed that it becomes really comedic at a certain point. And that's how I felt about this song. The song Parable and the two songs Parable and Parabola on Lateralis are probably back to back. It's essentially one song, but there, it's like my favorite thing Tool has ever done. And it's really long. And
yeah,
it, like the build in that song and the melody and when everything comes crashing in and how that song just evolves the longer you listen to it, it's literal perfection, and I love it. But this is like the antithesis of that. There are really good things about the song, though. I love the vibe. I love the aesthetic. I love a lot of the melodies, the instrumentation, the instrumental melodies that are going on here. And I agree. I thought Maynard's vocals sounded phenomenal in a lot of these parts. It's just one big eye roll, though, because so much of what is good here, it's not really assembled. It's like, it's not really put together. Like, if they would have just figured out a way to put all the parts that are actually parts succinctly assembled together into one thing, I think it would have been way better, as opposed to just like really stretching certain moments out that just didn't really need to be there. I'm excited. Like, I'm excited that Tool is around. I'm excited that Tool and their music, it's on streaming services now, so people can enjoy it and experience it. And yeah, I'm excited for this new Tool album.
I feel like them putting this song out as like the first song in years is kind of a big troll, a Tool troll. But yeah, congratulations, Tool fans. You have a new song called Fear Inoculum to go kill cat stew and light candles or whatever. All right, yeah. Let's move on to Fresh Listen singles this week. Brando, what you got for me?
So I am going to give my fresh listen to this Dram song.
Okay.
I am such a huge fan of Dram. Your Girl Gives the Best Hugs is still like one of the funnest songs to come out in the past couple years. My wife loves that song. My child loves that song, even though I don't know, you know, he says in that song, I think he says she wants the D. She wants the D from me. So probably shows what kind of parents we are. But I think Dram is just, he's such a good and kind of interesting artist. The choices that he makes and his style is just very unique. I love this take on this song. It's kind of, you know, Dram makes a lot of what we'll call bedroom music, or date night music, whatever you want to say, or Tuesday if you're Jay Williams.
That's right.
I love his style. I love the female feature on this song. It's her, right? H-E-R?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, just had a lot of fun with it. I loved the vibe. I loved those synths in there. I just thought it was an incredible song. Jay, what do you think of it?
Yeah, so I'm a massive fan of Dram as well, or Does Real Ass Music, as he was formerly known. I didn't hate the song, but I didn't love it either. I actually thought it was super boring, like one of his more boring songs that he's put out. I thought it lacked a lot of energy, unfortunately. I wanted to be more into it than I was. My only thing with Dram is that, like, he does a lot of things that are silly and like tongue in cheek, which is fun. It's super fun. He put out that song Gilligan, or like the hook was like gone off the shit again, just or something like something 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 Gilligan. It's just like really really stupid. But
yeah,
he's so talented. I kind of just want him to make like at least an EP of just like really serious music so we could showcase just how artsy he really is. But this was like a pretty low key type of song, I feel like. But yeah, I just wasn't really feeling the energy and the vibe from it. But it's fine.
Okay.
It's a fine project. My fresh listen this week goes to this Sir single featuring Kendrick Lamar called Hair Down. I had heard some rumblings that Kendrick was going to be featuring on a song from this new artist that he just signed to his record label called Sir. And I didn't really know what to make of it. Now I know that there's a plethora of people that are signed to his label, including like J-Rock and just a lot of like straightforward hip hop artists and this and that. But you also have a few other people out there. But I just didn't expect this to be as melodic as it was and semi-alternative R&B. And I just thought it was a really nice song. I thought it had a great melody. I thought Kendrick's feature was pretty cool. Way better than his feature on that stupid Beyonce Lion King thing that he decided to show up for and phone in. But yeah, just kind of caught me off guard, and I liked the vocals from Sir, and this is an artist I've never heard of before or heard from, so I'm excited to pay attention to what he does in the future. What did you think about this track, Brando?
Yeah, I thought both of their voices let me down.
Okay.
Kendrick kind of has that voice that only works if the song is a banger. Kendrick is an all-star. He's a rock star, whatever. Get your game on, go play, whatever. He's fantastic. I loved Damn the record. I thought, you know, I think To Pimp a Butterfly was really good. He's super talented, but the way his voice sounds, like the tone of it, is a little like, there's like a little bit of like, I don't know how to explain it. Like in the roof of his mouth.
Well, he
like
raps in a lot of different voices sometimes, but I get what you're saying. Some of them are a little bit more abrasive than others.
And well, just tonally. And so I thought this was fine. I didn't hate it, but I did think that like the way Kendrick sounded was a little rough. But again, you know, a lot of what is great about Kendrick are his bars. And his creativity, but yeah, this just didn't do it for me this time.
I don't think he's ever been the greatest feature for people.
Yeah.
Like, there aren't a ton of examples that I can think of where it's been like, I mean, there are some times when he's come on songs and it's like, oh, wow, that's great. But Tim, like, I think he was on, No More Parties at LA, right? From Kanye. And that was pretty good. But for the most part, you just don't see him popping up and giving, I feel like, his absolute A game. I feel like he holds a lot back because we don't get a lot of Kendrick Lamar music. I mean, even though he was pretty prolific over the course of like maybe I should take that back. We have had like four projects from him in the last 4 years, but I just feel I feel like he saves a lot of his best for his own stuff, which is fine. And I totally get that. But I agree with you to a certain extent. But I guess more than anything, this song popped up as my fresh listen just because I didn't expect it to be what it was. And just I've never heard from the artist. And to be 100% transparent, I didn't love most of the stuff this week. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's my fresh listen. Let's move on to worst listen singles, Brando. Who's taken the shitty cake this week?
Katy Perry.
Same.
Small Talk. Hey, Katy, stop it. I don't know what's gotten into her. Like, there are so many good Katy Perry songs. The first time I heard I Kissed a Girl, I was like, dude, this is a banger. And I remember, I've told this story on the podcast before, but you know, I had Waffle House ladies give me my money back after I played that song, maybe in an inebriated state, like 4 or 5 times in a row in a Waffle House jukebox. So I'm ride or die for Dark Horse, which doesn't sound anything like that stupid Flame song. I just think that she had a great track record for a while, and that track record is done. Swish Swish was a terrible song. Her last record was so boring. So I think she's done, and this song was just not good. She sounded old. Her voice, like, she must have had some kind of vocal surgery or something, or she has nodules, because the way her voice sounds is just not the same. And her falsetto is not great. So I don't know, man. I think American Idol may have made her a little lazy. And unless she gets that backpack kid or some other shtick, you know, she's in some trouble here. Tell me what you thought of it.
Yeah, I thought it was absolutely horrible, man. The song, I've said this once and I'll say it again. Like, she's just, you're right about the laziness. And she's just fallen into the cycle of putting out these like ultra sugary bubblegummy songs, and the silliness, it's just worn off. Like,
yeah,
it feels very half-assed. And
yes,
I thought the melody was a little lazy. The melody in towards the hook sounds borrowed from something, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And yeah, the lyrics are just uber dumb, like, and lame and corny. And I just don't know today who she's writing music for, because it feels like she's stuck in like 2007 or six.
Yeah.
Something like that. and in an age where an artist like Billie Eilish and even Post Malone are like huge pop stars, and they're doing just way more interesting things, and they're playing with the tone of some of their big pop songs. Like, what's that? That Stay song from Post Malone. That's just like a huge ballad. It's way different than a song like Rockstar or Psycho. That's super fun. And I'm just not getting anything from her. especially on a song like this. And I guess more than anything, it's like a rant against where she is right now. I feel like she needs to go through a huge artistic renaissance. Like, can we have whatever happened to Miley Cyrus happened to Katy Perry? So she could just like do a ton of drugs and get like go crazy psychedelic.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say something there. Sorry. That's why I like paused for a long time. So we had the same worst listen. So that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to best listen. Brando, what you got?
We're going to have the same best listen. It's this Labyrinth and Zendaya song.
Oh, that's 100% not my best listen, but how dare you?
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
You didn't like it.
It's not that I didn't like it. I don't know. It's less of a song and more like something in a television show, which is exactly what it was. There's just a lot of fluff in the song. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So ignore everything Jay said and listen to me. This song is great. The echo was so annoying in the beginning when, someone would say something, then a second later you'd hear like Kirk Franklin go, he'd just repeat it just a little different. Like, I was going to the store. She was going to the store. And da-da-da-da-da. That part of the song was really annoying, but I loved this production. I think that, you know, that really popular thing that a lot of people are doing now is putting a lot of saturation and distortion on 808s. And so it kind of sounds like your speakers are blown a little bit, but in a really cool way. I just loved this production. I thought this was such a banger. I didn't know Zendaya could sing. Maybe she can't. you don't have to be able to sing now to be a pop star, but
Ollie Sykes.
Ollie Sykes, Billie Eilish. I do think that it's just really well written. I think Labyrinth's voice sounds really good in this song. I liked it. I haven't seen the end of Euphoria yet, but I can't wait to see it. All around, I just thought, you know, I love pop music, and this was really well done pop music to me. But your boy Jay didn't like it, so Jay, tell us why you're wrong.
It's not that I didn't like it. Let me just say this. Part of me is annoyed by the song, but it has nothing to do with what is actually in the song. We haven't talked about this, and you've watched the show now. Have you heard the song that keeps coming up in the show, the one that goes, "You still don't know my name."
Yes.
"And I could die or stay." That song.
But you are not allowed.
It doesn't.
To not like this.
Wait, what did you say? What did you just say?
You are not allowed to not like this song because it's not the song you
It's
want.
Not that song. That song doesn't even fucking exist. They played it 100 times. It's so good. It's maybe the greatest song of all time, but I would never know because it doesn't exist and he won't give it to us. Just give me the song. It's not this. this honestly, there's really nothing wrong with this song. It is. I am annoyed by the opening portion.
Yeah. Same.
More than anything, it sounds like something in a play, and I don't like show tunes. I don't like Broadway. It's all hot garbage. It just really bothers me.
Hard agree.
But listen,
hard agree.
But listen, Labyrinth as a producer, phenomenal. I love all the aesthetics that he brings to the table. Extremely talented, very versatile, and like his approaches. I mean, like if you listen to that song Mount Everest that he put out within the soundtrack, it doesn't sound anything like this, but it's equally as cool. It's dope as hell. And this is a really awesome artist. I put this on there, but when I put it on the playlist, I was like, I just don't even know how I feel about it even being a song. It's just, it's like something that happened, especially with context of seeing it in the show.
Okay. I don't think I've seen it.
You haven't. It's literally the last thing that happens in the season. So I'll just leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah. My best listen comes from
No
Active Child. the song called All Eyes on You. I love Active Child. His last album, Mercy, was my album of the year when it came out. And I've been like, it's been a joke up until this point. Since that album came out, every year after the year after it came out, I gave him a year. I've been asking him online, when's the new album coming out? When's the new album coming out? And he actually responds sometimes. And last year I said, will I be able to put the new Active Child album on my most anticipated this year? And he said, absolutely 100%. Guess what? It didn't fucking come out. You redheaded, harp playing jerk. All right. You pissed me off, but the wait was worth it for this song. I thought this was a grade A R&B banger, something to make magic unicorn babies to. Very different. It's a lush song because it's lush, extremely melodic, a nice halftime sort of grooved out beat, but it's sort of rinsed in this like washed out reverb over the entire thing. It makes it feel old and wrinkled and leathery, like you've been out in the sun too long. And that's not super present on a lot of his other recordings. Like everything's a little bit brighter and vivid. And this one was more desaturated, if I had to say anything about it. But I really like the song. Great melody, great hook. It seems like he's writing better songs now. This is like the second single that he's put out since his last album. And they both just have really, really nice hooks and choruses. I really, really enjoyed the song. What did you think about All Eyes on You, Brando?
So this song was so forgettable that I can't even remember how it goes.
My God.
No. my notes just say eh. It didn't hook me, this song. And, you know, hashtag transparency. I listened to these singles like maybe 20 minutes before we went live until Jay and I started talking. And so maybe I missed it, or maybe I just, you know, zoned out for a minute, but I can't even remember how the song goes.
You listened to the playlist 20 minutes before, and the playlist is 55 minutes long.
No, I'm saying like, well, yeah. No, it's maybe an hour.
Do the math. I'm just kidding. Maybe an hour. Hey, listen, I've been there. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
When you're going to, I mean, you got to cram for the show.
If you ask me, hey, did you listen to that whole Katy Perry song? No.
Yeah.
You gosh darn right, I did.
Oh,
didn't.
Listen, when we do this show, because we have so much to listen to,
yeah,
I'll fully give something 30 seconds and just be like, yes. No, it's just not happening. So these are like our raw first impressions. But I would, right. Here's what I want you to do tonight. I need you to turn down the lights, lay down the bed. Something voices inside my head. Because I can't make you love me, okay? I need you to light some candles when the kids are asleep. I need you to put this song
on. Burn the house down. Take out insurance.
I need you to put this song on and make sweet, 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 deep, passionate pancakes for your wife.
Yeah, I was about to say, she's not interested in anything else, okay. So.
Yeah,
good.
It's one of those songs. All right, that's it for our list of singles. Let's just run through a few of these just real, real quick. Azalea Dying with another song called Shaped by Fire. The song is so intense. It's ridiculous. It's whatever. Did you miss that one too?
No, I definitely listened to it. It was so heavy, I tried to hire a guy to kill my wife.
Oh my gosh, what a great joke. I love it. A Brockhampton song, boring.
Yeah.
So boring. What else? Tool, 10 minutes long.
Era.
Lady Antebellum, stop. Lana Del Rey, stop.
Era.
Yeah, let's talk about the Era song. What do you think about that one?
Okay.
Eye of God.
Yeah. Architects?
With
Architects put out a record?
With Cove Reber as the singer? As the queen singer?
And so now we can we can be architects. I thought it was good. I think the dudes are really good at their guitars. But if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. After you show me your trick, I don't care. Like, if you can fit, like, 100 million notes in a three-minute song, like, I do not care about any of that. I thought the riff was pretty cool. But the second time it came around, it just, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. But I did think the riff was bouncy and heavy, and the clean singing parts were fine. I think they're talented.
Yeah, Era are one of those annoying bands that have an incredibly talented member, the guitar player and singer, that feels like this should be his the thing that he's putting all his time into instead of his solo project, which is a million times better and more interesting. That Ghost Atlas band. Yeah.
Yeah.
Way better than Era. Stop. Just quit this band. Just quit it. We have a million of these. A million. Just stop.
Yes.
All right. Let's get all this bullshit out of the way. All right. Singles, you can take a hike. Because it's time for albums. And we got not one, but two big listens this week, Brando.
Yeah.
We got Slipknot. We'll get to that in a second, okay? But this Bon Iver album, it came out of nowhere, like a old balding white guy from a cabin in the woods, and it just smacked me right in the dick. All right, this thing is 20 days early. Who does this?
Bon Iver,
Justin Vernon,
the guy who
Justin Vernon. No, you should shut your mouth for a second. All right, I got the floor. Frank Ocean be like, oh, you want a new album? How about Never, you dumb fucks? Justin Vernon be like, you want a new album? How about Early? And I'm here for it.
Racist.
I love Frank Ocean. I love gay black men. Okay. Yes. Brando.
Uh-huh.
What were you going to say? Just tell me what you're going to say, okay?
I don't know.
It's Bon Iver. It's this new album. I don't know how to say the fucking name. All right. Brando, I'm just going to let you talk. I've already put my review out for it. Just tell me, what did you think when these songs started appearing online? We weren't supposed to have this. You woke up this morning. I don't know what you did. You maybe took a big poop. What were your thoughts this morning when you said, what? I've got a Bon Iver album to listen to today.
So I was watching the chat last night and you were losing your mind when like most of the record came out, but there were still a few holdouts. Like what was going on?
The opener was one.
So what was there a leak? What happened?
So, okay. Why did this happen? That's a great question. That nobody asked except for you. So, and I'm happy to oblige. I'll shut this podcast right down right now, and we'll just talk about Bon Iver for the next 30 minutes. So, album was supposed to come out August the 30th. They had like global listening parties at record stores all around the country on Wednesday. And even when that was going on, I thought to myself, somebody's going to get this album and they're going to leak it.
Yeah.
So the next day, Thursday, he just starts uploading like a song per hour. And at one point I woke up and I was super annoyed because he had put, I thought he put out 5 singles. And I was like, bro, we got most of the album. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. His songs don't work as singles. And I want to hear the full project. So
yeah.
Then it became apparent that he was releasing the entire album. And I was just, it was about noon, and I was just really ready to start it. What I wanted him to do was at least release the first song because we had most of the tracks. And I could at least start it and hopefully just wait until the other ones that were missing came in. But he just held out this first song. I didn't know, I should have known this, Luke the plug had to tell me that the first song is like a 30-second intro. So I was like, fuck it, we're just gonna listen to this thing from front to back. He says that he released it on 8ix9ine as a tip of the cap to his subreddit because of the song 89, which Bon Iver fans have been crying out to be released for like the last 3 years, and he just won't do it. And he's been constantly trolling them. So he put it out on 8ix9ine. I think it was going to leak and they got ahead of it. And he was just like, let's just put it out anyways. Yeah. So that's as much background as I can give you.
Okay. So I was excited to listen to it. We had heard the singles and I thought all of them were fine. But again, I agree with Jay that this is more of a sit down and be intentional. This isn't a mow your lawn and give a first listen, right? That's not the kind of artist Bon Iver is. Yeah. You want to pay attention. You want to be wearing nice headphones or listening on good speakers. And so I listened to this thing twice today. I listened to it once, and the first time, my first impression, Jay, I didn't get it.
I agree.
So I thought, man, he's taken a lot of pauses. There are a lot of moments of almost accidental brilliance. Like, just it okay. Sounds like he's in the studio and he's got like a volume button on this, like on the OB-1 or something. And he set some kind of like loop and he randomly turns it up and turns it down whenever he wants. And it's not lining up perfect. But yeah, so my first experience, I thought the second half of the record was a lot better than the first half. And I thought, I'm not sure if I understand this yet. And so, yeah, first listen, I was a little underwhelmed, I thought at first. And then, yeah, so let's start there. What was your first impression? Because it sounded like you kind of had a similar thing.
Yeah, so upon my first listen to the album, I, too, was very unsure about it. Because I thought the first three songs on this album, they just, for one of the songs just sounds completely unfinished. Like I thought it was lacking like a big climax. And another one of the songs is super glitchy to the point where it's hard to even comprehend. And the first full song, I Am I, it's really cool, but it's like a bunch of samples going on and it's just really hard to find your footing. And then we got into the songs that I'd already heard before. And I thought, well, I feel more comfortable now. I've been here before. And I even thought some of the songs that I wasn't necessarily underwhelmed by, but they didn't blow me away. Songs like You Man Like and Gelmore, which I said at the time just sounded like an interlude. I thought that they made more sense then, just like I'd always said. But then in the latter third of the album, I thought, man, he's really bringing it home here.
Yeah.
Still trying to find my way around this world he's built, but it's better. And then I was super excited to loop it back again and be like, let me re-listen to this now that it's kind of like when you go into a strange house, you turn the lights on, you don't know where anything is. But once you walk around for a little bit, now I need to take in everything else. So that's where I was in my first listen.
So, yeah, same thing for me. And I did immediately listen. So I listened once. I took my kids to get lunch. And then when we came back, I listened to it immediately again. And on second listen, are you ready to get into it?
Absolutely. Let's get it.
Okay. It's great. It's so good. I still think, like you, that the number, like when I put my playlist together of this album, the first track's gone.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't need it. Yeah. But after that, I still think the second half of the record is stronger than the first half. But the first half made a lot more sense. I think that a lot of these are less songs and more sketches, but he's been doing that, you know, since self-titled, definitely on 22 A Million. I thought that he's so good at capturing a vibe or an emotion. I think the best song on the record is a song called Faith. I think this whole project ebbs and flows from like silence and then like just mess, like what you were talking about with, you know, very dense, very loop heavy, lots of samples going on at once. And it's kind of hard to get your bearings on his melodies when there's really nothing like anchoring it.
Yes.
But the more he did it, the more I was like, oh, okay. It's just so anti-Brando in the way that this music is arranged and put together. It's just not how my brain works.
Right.
But I loved it. I thought, I think it darts in and out of madness and genius. I think it's a really good progression from 22 A Million. So if you're a fan of that album, you know, within a couple listens, you'll be a fan of this one, I think. Really dense production, but there are a lot of moments of breath. Yeah, I think that, you know, what at first seemed like those, you know, accidental compositions, you know, just turning up volume and turning it back down on just the craziness. Upon second listen, I can't wait to listen to this thing again. I thought it was really, really well done. I don't know if it's his best work. I definitely think it's of, if not his most experimental, on par with, you know, 22 A Million. Had a lot of fun with it. I love this record. I think Justin, you know, took some chances vocally and he did some cool things, some new things. So, yeah, I really enjoyed this record. Jay, I'm dying to hear. Second listen, how'd it go?
Yeah, so, listen, we've just got to stop putting out singles from this guy. We have to. Because if this isn't just the perfect example of a mood album, and especially for Bonnie Bear, then I don't know what else exists. Because once you're in this world, everything just makes so much more sense. The first song, I Am I, that I just couldn't really understand. Like, I actually heard a song in there, and it was refreshing. It was nice. I love how colorful this album is, if not at sometimes abrasive. And that's what you get on the first listen. It's like all this stuff, it just feels like, like you said, it just doesn't even register what's going on. But then once you sort of see the forest through the trees, it's phenomenal. It's amazing. I love them. I think this album is separated into thirds. The first third is definitely the most challenging, which makes when you come back to it, the even more enjoyable. The middle portion, I think, is easily the most digestible stuff, hence why a lot of that was released as singles. You've got Hey Ma, which I think is maybe one of the best Bonnie Bear songs ever. It's phenomenal. You've got You Man Like, which at the time just didn't make sense to me when it came out, even though I thought it was a fine song. It feels perfect on this album, and I love that it follows up Hey Ma. And like you said, Faith is, it's like a modern Bon Iver epic, like the way it works. It's such a beautiful song, and its place in the album is so so nice. The last third is what I'm here for Justin Vernon. Like everything, all the ideas and little, I don't know, sort of like clipped out little, I don't know, scrapbookings that he's done throughout the rest of the album. It's like he just assembles it all together for almost a peek into the future of Bon Iver. I feel like these are the most realized versions of songs, which have things that I've just kind of haven't heard before, but also seem familiar. The song Marion on this, it sounds like it literally came from For Emma Forever ago. That's, it's just this acoustic sort of soulful song that has these just repeating refrains in it. But in 2019, and it sounds really rich. One of the last two songs has this beautiful horn section that comes in. You have another song that has these sequenced little bloops and bleeps that happen throughout the song that just at times it sounds super random, but once you figure it out, it's just amazing. I love it all. Like, I love it.
And yeah.
Here's the thing about his vocals on this album. There are times where, especially on 22 A Million, where I feel like his vocals are not only the glue that holds everything together, but without them, I think the songs really fall apart. Like, I think his vocals and his vocal melody sometimes acts as a crutch for songs that are a little underwhelming. But on this album, I feel like he did take a little bit of a step back on his vocals, not in a way I'm trying to criticize it. I'm just saying that everything feels important here, more so than his other albums. And his vocal melodies were a little bit more simple, I feel like, where I could, you know, they're a little bit repetitive. And again, that's not a criticism at all. It's just, it feels like a more mature thing. The last thing I'll say, and then we can talk about some more back and forth. This is the least that a Bon Iver album has changed from album to album. It is a direct relative to 22 A Million, but yeah, Everything feels way less random and more refined, if that makes any sense at all. Like, I thought the production on this album was way better than 22 A Million. Like, it just sounded like everything that they were doing, the decisions to mix certain things, made sense. So that's sort of my thoughts on the album. I do have a few negatives, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. I just feel like this, you know, I think about the great songs from 22 A Million. What is it? 733 Creeks. You know, like the song Faith to me. So I think this album has more singles than I think 22 A Million did.
Right.
I do think Bon Iver used to be a singles band. You know, there's tons of singles off For Emma Long Ago. You know, Holocene is, you know, Bon Iver's still magnum opus. It's a beautiful song, and it is digestible out of context. But I agree with you. A lot of Bon Iver stuff makes more sense in an album. Like the song Hey Ma, Jamel, or however you say that.
Jamel.
What is the name of the song?
Jelmore,
Jamel. Whatever. Jamel? Drummer?
Sorry.
Chidoba. Yeah, I just feel like now that I've heard the record, I could hear a single and get it. But I agree. I think the more time you spent, you know, it's like doing anything, you know, when you first start driving, you don't really get it. And you want to be able to at least pick up on the, like, it's like when Kid A came out and everyone was expecting another OK Computer from Radiohead.
Right.
Kid A took a little bit of time for people to go, what? Or like when the song Idiotech came out, you know, people were like, what's going on? And then King of Limbs came out and everybody was right that it was bad. But I do think that this will take you a minute to get, but stick with it. If it's not, if 22 A Million wasn't for you and you've gave it multiple listens, this might not be either. But if those records get your blood pumping, definitely check this one out.
Yeah, I will say too, 22 A Million for me was a collection of moments. Like every song on that album, yeah, feels like I like 22 A Million a lot. I think as an album, it has a ton of issues and problems. The sequencing is all types of messed up, but the individual moments on it are pretty special. And that's probably been my biggest criticism with Bon Iver's albums over time, is just that I don't think he's always nailed down the sequencing and the listening experience. I think sometimes it's just kind of all over the place. I think the self-titled was the best example of that, almost to its fault, because that's such one body of work that it's actually even harder to listen to individual moments of that, unless you're listening to Holocene or Perth. This one, I feel like he got the sequencing right. Like, is it heavy on the back end with some of the better stuff? Yeah, sure. But it actually makes going back and starting it over even more enjoyable, I feel like. So that's very clever on his part. My only negative here, and this is a little bit of a subjective, it's fully subjective. There are times Bon Iver has always just been very, Justin Vernon has always been very frustrating with being non-committal to things that I feel like he should be committal about. Like in the song Faith, there is a guitar part that is the bed of that song, but it's so in the background and buried. Whereas, like, it's a great song, but if you just would have turned the guitars up more, it would have been like, yes, now everyone can listen to this instead of like,
right,
instead of a certain group of people. The beats on this and the percussion, there are some songs where it's very much apparent, but there are some songs on here where it's just like, he'll start into a beat, but then turn it down and pull it back. And it's just like, can you just give me, like, hearing these songs live, having seen him twice now, I can already tell you, hearing these songs live will revolutionize this album for you, because you're actually going to have a drummer that will commit to playing the drums and all this other stuff. It's like that with 22 a Million. Like, the songs sound so much better live, and it makes going back and listening to them more fun for sure to hear the differences. But, like, yeah, sometimes I do wish he would just make the song like the way that it should be made, because when he does that, it's great. I mean, Skinny Love, Holocene, Blood Bank, Heavenly Father. Those are songs where he actually wrote a song. It's exciting to hear all this stuff, but you know, it wouldn't kill you to just make one that's just full of the Bon Iver bangers.
Like, right.
I would love that album, but phenomenal project. I gave it an A-, I believe, on my review. Do you have a review or a grade up until this point for the album, or do you want to spend more time with it?
I would give it an A.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
It's getting a ton of praise. You had mentioned from Pitchfork gave it a bunch of praise. It's getting great stuff everywhere. You had made a thing about, like, I don't know if it's his best work. Bon Iver is one artist that I just can't, because everything he's done is so specific to that album and such huge departures from each other. I have a very hard time, like, holding one up above the other. It's very, very stressful for me as a fan.
Yeah, For Emma Long Ago is his best project, in my opinion.
Right.
But Holocene is easily his best song ever. And it's,
yeah,
to top it would just be insane. So,
for sure.
We'll see.
All right, let's move on. We got more stuff to cover. We might not go as in depth with this next one for time, but
don't think we'll have to.
Okay, fair enough. The Slipknot album.
Slipknot.
What's it called? We Are Not Your Kind. I also have a review for this album out on the YouTube channel as well. You can check that out. So I'm going to throw it to Brando yet again. What did you think of the Maggots and the band that the Maggots are a fan of, Slipknot?
This is for Juggalos and Juggalettes. Woo, woo.
Unsainted is a jam. That's what I'll say nice about this record. I think this record sucks.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, okay.
I think Ryan said on Weekly that he likes Slipknot when they're not being super Slipknot, when Corey Taylor isn't being too Corey Taylor. Corey Taylor has one of my favorite screams on the planet. It's so good. Slipknot, when they're firing on all cylinders, Left Behind, Duality, Psychosocial even, Wait and Bleed, like, they can write these absolute bangers. What they can also do is write these rappy, screamy things. And that's just not for me. When Corey does those, even in, like, that Duality song or whatever, when he's like, I wish for this, I wish for that, he pushed behind this little fact, when he's doing those nursery rhymes thing, yeah, like, that just annoys me so much.
It's Johnny Cash impression.
Yeah. So I get why people dig it. I can understand why people would listen to this and love it. But I think Slipknot, I think this is their worst record. In my opinion, there are so many songs on this that 20 seconds in, I had to push fast forward or I was going to have a stroke. It feels so disjointed. The songwriting is kind of all over the place. But then again, what I want from Slipknot, and maybe this is fair, it isn't fair. What I want for Slipknot are those songs like Wait and Bleed with the huge choruses and the, you know, heavy parts or even Unsainted. I even love, I love the song All Out Life now that it's been, you know, out. I think it's a good song. I think the guitars still sound like crap. I think the mixing on this record is atrocious.
I agree.
The snare sounds so bad. The guitars are so uninteresting. There's a song on this record called Red Flag, and it is the worst mixed heavy song I think I've ever heard. It's just uninspired.
And hey, you Slipknot, you can't be doing shit like that.
Yeah, all of the instrumentals that they put in just annoyed the fire out of me. It's like there's so much great to praise about this record, but it's surrounded by like mountains of crap. I didn't like it. I wanted to like it. I am a Slipknot fan, but when they go into their Silly Goose moments, you know, there are those, you know, they're already wearing masks. Okay. So there's one strike. Number two, they're wearing jumpsuits with numbers. Number three, they call their fans maggots. Number four, they're weird. They won't tell you who Tortilla Face Man is.
Brando doesn't like gimmicks.
I hate gimmicks, but yeah, all in all, I just thought this was not very good. Now it's not terrible, but it's just not very good to me. It just didn't do anything for me. Jay, I purposefully didn't watch your review yet. Tell me what you thought.
Yeah. So I actually gave this album a B, and I, so let me just say this. I don't think I said this on my review. I don't think that there's ever been a perfect Slipknot album from front to back.
Fair.
Like, yeah, most of their albums, there are a collection of songs that I kind of just throw right away. I think their best work is their self-titled, their debut album, their debut commercial album. Iowa is really good. Actually, even though for whatever reason, it's just not held up in high regard, is All Hope Is Gone, the one with Psychosocial on it. I actually really like that album. I think it's really solid.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the rest of it, like, they all have huge, huge gaps in their albums for me. And this album is like that too. But what I did like, actually loved on this album. In fact, I think it's some of my favorite Slipknot stuff they've ever done. Unsainted, we've already talked about that. I really like Birth of the Cruel. Nero Forte might be in my top five favorite Slipknot songs of all time. I think that song fucking rips. I think it's super good. I love the vocal melody that Corey brings to the table. I like Critical Darling. I like Soul Wave Firth, and that's it. But there's many other songs on this. So the rest of them I just thought were huge misses. Soul Wave Firth, I think the songwriting is super lazy. I said that in my review. It has these transitions between parts that just sound awful. The song, okay, the mix was terrible. Just like you said, the production I thought was terrible. That took it down a lot. And the songs that are bad are really bad on this. Like, there's just like a whole section of songs where they're trying to be like kind of Slipknot balladry songs that I just don't think works at all, or more radio rock. But my biggest frustration is a song called Spiders. So there is a world, and there is a realm and a dimension where this song can actually be good, but they just Slipknot it up. They like the melody, the vocal melody that could happen in this song, and the energy that could be in this song is really good. But they do this thing where they just try to make it uber weird, like it's in some strange dark carnival or something. And it just sounds stupid. Do anybody listening to this right now, including you, Brando, do yourself a favor and try to go back and listen to the song Spiders, but imagine if Thrice had written it, and it would be great. I guarantee you I could cover this song and make it infinitely better.
Is Thrice a better band than Slipknot?
100%. There's just there's just no doubt about it.
I would give this a C.
Okay, fair enough.
If I was grading it, I don't think it's, because I do think, like you, I think Unsainted is a cool song. I thought that there were some riffs that were cool, but then I thought they rested on a lot. I thought those open and first fret riffs that they do, just kind of, you know, the those kinds of things, right. Just that's what every guitar player does when he first picks it up and doesn't know what to do.
Listen, it's only so Deftones literally made their career on that, but they sprinkle it in. And it's awesome when they do it. So everything else in between, you
can also don't have three people hitting trash cans wearing clown masks in the background.
Right. And taking themselves so serious. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. The stuff that I liked really did elevate the album for me. But I agree. It's, I don't know, man. It's just, I kind of just wish Slipknot would just kind of just do anything else at this point. Like they're so on brand, and the fact that their fans are just okay with that, that bothers me. Like I don't know if they're really challenging anybody.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. They're not challenging the maggots, Jay.
There you go. All right. Well, those are both of our big listens. My God. All right. Let's move on to fresh listen this week. I'll kick it off here. My fresh listen goes to the band Acres and their song Lonely World. Awesome. I don't know if this is like my favorite thing in the entire world, but this gave me so much nostalgia. This band, this band is riding like 2004, like emo, like post-hardcore songs, like that remind me of, at times they remind me of like the good stuff that I liked back in the day from Silverstein or even the Used to a certain extent. But the good thing about that is that they're using a lot of modern songwriting techniques that I like a lot. Like this band is, for me at least, is this year's Thousand Below. I thought they have so many good like vocal melody parts that come in, and their songwriting sounds mature, even though I don't know if their approach as a band is that mature. It's very retro for post-hardcore music, but just their songwriting is pretty smart. And they have like a lot of their version of ballads on this album, which kind of caught me off guard. I don't love the screamer of this band, and I definitely don't love the production on this album. The production also sounds like it kind of came from like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I think this band has so many tools to do really cool stuff, and that's what excites me about them the most. What'd you think of this album?
I think the guitar player of this band pissed off the producer and they just turned him like way down. The production is trash on this. But the songwriting is so good. I thought I actually didn't mind the screaming vocal at all. It doesn't sound like everybody else, and maybe that's what I liked, that it was just something different. The singing voice, I think he wrote some dope chorus melodies. It could have more power if the mix were better. I just thought it was really cool. I thought the songwriting was good. It wasn't like a slam dunk, but it was a firm layup. I thought, you know, it kind of reminded me of like Thousand Below meets Gatherers.
Okay. Yeah. It's got that rawness to it because the production's so great.
That's right.
Not that the production in Gatherers was bad. It wasn't, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just thought it was pretty good. So that's what it got.
Yeah, the fact that Ryan hasn't hit me up about this yet is actually bothering me. This album is 100% his algorithm.
Yeah.
So I guarantee you he's going to hear this and listen to it, like give it two chances and be like, oh, it didn't grab me. You got to sit with it. You got to let it
eat.
What?
He's too busy listening to the score.
He's too busy moving to Arizona. All right.
That's right.
Worst listen for me. I actually have two worst listens. One of them is The Score. And the other one is Rick Ross. Rick Ross, like I listened to like three songs off this and I was like, yeah, it's Rick Ross being Rick Ross. I've never liked Rick Ross. I don't think he's that great. He's also a liar. Everything about his persona is a absolute fabrication. The Score, this is just a band we don't need. It's they're like Diet Imagine Dragons, which is even worse than just being Imagine Dragons. Like it's just the worst like rock pop electronic stuff that I've ever heard. It's stuff that dads work out to when they only work out like maybe twice a month. And yeah, it's also stuff that you drive your kid to soccer practice to, and you're waiting in the car.
For sure.
You're waiting in the car and you're like, no, I've got more to give in this life. I'm going to go buy a Tesla. That's what those people listen to. What'd you think about either of these albums?
Yeah, they're both my worst listens. The score, Imagine Dragons meets Judah and the Lion meets One Republic's Bad Stuff. It reminded me of that song. You know that song, Faye, make me a believer.
Yeah.
Believer. That's what I thought. I was like, okay. Rick Ross, again, Rick Ross always kind of sounds like this to me for some reason.
Maybach music.
It's just not for me. And so I listened to the beginning of five songs on that Rick Ross project. I made it through one of the scores. But again, they're both great at what they do, I guess. It's just not for me. You know, if you like Imagine Dragons, you'll love the score. And you'll also love speaking to the manager at restaurants.
Yeah, because your steak at Applebee's was too cold.
That's right.
All right, best listen. I did give Bon Iver my best listen, but for the sake of making things interesting, there was another album that absolutely blew me away. Like, did not expect to hear this.
Yeah.
Could have been my fresh listen as well because I've never heard of this artist. This Marika Hackman album, Any Human Friend. All right. So sometimes when I'm doing this whole thing, I'm working. Actually, always when I'm doing this listening, I'm working. And I'll just put something on. And if it's just not interesting, at a certain point, it'll cut through whatever I'm doing. And I'll just be like, I just need to change this. I let this album play all the way through four times today.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I just didn't expect to be listening to an album this good today. It's like everything I love about this, and Ryan Stanley's going to love this too, about this female singer-songwriter sort of movement that's going on. But man, does she bring so much fun attitude to it as well. There's some songs on here that rock the fuck out, man. Like, she can really turn up the energy, but also bring it down to a more intimate setting as well. I think her voice is stunning. I think her vocal melodies are always awesome and fun and infectious. And a ton of tongue-in-cheek lyrics on this thing to sort of liven things up a little bit, just like Phoebe Bridgers. Like, Phoebe Bridgers' album is depressing and dense, but man, does she have some nice tongue-in-cheek one-liners in her album to kind of cut through some of that seriousness. And I thought, the album cover alone does that too. It's phenomenal. I was absolutely in love with this album. What'd you think about it?
So this is my album of the year so far.
I knew it. No, I didn't know it, but I knew that you were going to love it for sure.
So when I put this on and, you know, they're doing like the, hey, record into your boom box for the intro. And she goes into this chord. It's the second chord of the song. And I'm hooked immediately. I'm like, oh, okay. So this is different. And then she started singing and I was like blown away.
Yeah.
So this artist is the ex-girlfriend of the person behind the Japanese house.
What?
Yeah. So this is the Japanese. What's her name?
Oh, I don't know.
The Japanese?
Amber something.
So that person and Marika were girlfriends for a long time, I'm guessing. But I thought this was some of the smartest musical choices I've heard this year for sure. And it constantly subverted my expectations, and it would fight against the easiest melodies and make you kind of work for it, but in the best way. I think she's unbelievably cool. I love her voice and musical aesthetic. And from the first notes of the song Wanderlust to the end, I was just blown away. Obviously, this is Brando Algorithm, right? Like, singer-songwriter, female, really sweet vocals, you know, kind of raunchy lyrics at times, but in a cool way. This didn't make me work for it like Bon Iver, so it might not be as satisfying, you know, come into the year. You know,
yeah.
Something might overtake this, but it's going to have to try super hard because this was just such a fun listen. If you're a fan of Phoebe Bridgers, if you're a fan of Julian Baker, hope she's doing okay. She had to cancel her tour. If you're a fan of just really... Yeah, Lucy Dacus, really smart. Anybody in Boy Genius.
we just named the whole thing.
Yeah, you just really need to check this out. It has some Rilo Kiley vibes if you're into Jenny Lewis. And it's just so smart and well-crafted and well-done and really thoughtful. You can tell a lot of care went into these songs. So, definitely check it out. Definitely my album of the year. This could be this year's God's Favorite Customer. It's a party record, Ross Cassidy. So definitely throw this on at your next outing. I don't know. It's had a great time with it.
Yeah, it has so many sides to it, which makes the listening experience that easy. That's why I could leave it on for four whole loops. It just, it's constantly changing pace, but not in a way that's just like completely off the wall. Everything makes sense here. This is... It's phenomenal. It's an absolutely phenomenal album. Hopefully I'll review this. I need to go back and do some reviews on stuff that I just completely didn't do reviews on. Not even because I need to do reviews on them, but to remind myself that things came out. So
yeah,
like it serves as a good like flag in the sand for things. But yeah, phenomenal album. How great is it that we had this and the Bon Iver album to come out this week to listen to?
And Slipknot.
Yeah, it was a great week of music and a 10-minute Tool song. Crazy week of music, man. And it's not going to stop. I mean, August is absolutely jam-packed with stuff. We've got more. We've got a whole Tool album to talk about. We're going to have a Bon Iver album to talk about later on, but that's not the case anymore. We have it now. So, be tuned in to stuff on Sight and Sound Weekly this week. We're going to be talking about some of these Bon Iver shenanigans. Probably get Ryan's take on the Slipknot album. And we're also going to be talking about this Post Malone album that was just announced. It's supposed to be coming out next month. So definitely excited for that too. So be sure to stay subscribed, check out the show on Monday. Brando, where can they find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Brando Big Mouth.
Amazing. It's a great place to be over there on his social media. I'm on social media at Jay Williams. Share the A to the Y to the E on Twitter and Instagram. It's the same for both. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel. I've been dropping just a plethora of stuff. I've even got a Euphoria season one review coming up very, very soon. More album reviews, of course. Going to be doing some sound off stuff as well in the near future. Still working hard on some stuff behind the scenes, which we cannot wait to share with you all.
Yeah,
for sure. Patreon, if you want to support Sight and Sound in any way, shape, or form, you can do so via our Patreon for just $1 a month. You can help make the content better for everyone. Or if you want more Sight and Sound content, $5 will unlock that bonus podcast feed. More stuff coming on that very, very soon. Or if you don't want to give anything, that's totally cool too. You will still get the same free Sight and Sound content.
But you're a bad person.
That's it. What a great week. Brando, you got anything else?
Live for today.
Okay. Is that in the Bible?
No.
That's the antithesis of the Bible.
That's the devil talking, boy. That's the devil, boy.
All right. That's all we got. Brando, thank you so much, man. We will see you all on the next one. Bye-bye.